family discussions. We covered a lot of territory on Sunday. And then last night and tonight we're in the book of Ephesians. And last night I told you that Ephesians is the place where you go to get saved, isn't it? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. I don't know, probably it's a family conference, so most of you would profess to know Jesus, I would assume. But if you don't, you need to hear this. Salvation is not going to church or being a good husband or a good wife or a good dad or a good mom. You've got to be born again through Jesus Christ to be saved. That's by grace, and it's through faith. You don't work your way to heaven. Getting baptized won't take away your sins, and joining the church won't make you a Christian. But salvation is by grace through faith. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. And so if you've never met Jesus, I hope you'd consider Christ. He's a wonderful Savior, and He's changed our life, and He'd be happy to change yours. So you got to get saved, and then you got to get into church. Remember that last night, church family? You got to get into church. He says we need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that we can be edified and the work of the ministry can be accomplished. And then we learned last night that you got to grow. Go and get into church and grow in the Lord. And everybody ought to know this. Every believer ought to master this. Put off the old man, put on the new man. How many of y'all know that phrase? You got to master that. How do you do that? You get to the Word of God. How many of y'all believe this is the Word of God? Do you? You get to the Word of God. You get in the Word of God. You learn the Word of God. You apply the Word of God. And as you get to know God's Word and let the Holy Spirit, watch me now, as you get to know the Bible and let the Holy Spirit take the Bible and grow you and mature you, you become more like Jesus. And the more and more and more you become like Jesus, then the more successful you are as a child of God. And so it's the Word of God. You got to put off the old man and you got to put on the new man. So grow in the Lord. And then I said to you last night, you got to go for a good marriage. And tonight, let's add one more to that in chapter 6, and let's go for a happy family. All right, let's go for a happy family. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. How many of y'all know this verse? Y'all know chapter 6 and verse 1? How many of y'all know it? Children, what does it say? Help me out. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. My daughter, my oldest daughter, learned that when she was a little girl. We always had family devotions right away, so we do devotions as soon as they're born, and we'll feed them at night, feed the baby, and all my babies, my wife nursed the baby, so she'd nurse the baby, and then we'd change the baby, get it all dry, you know, clean diaper, swaddle the baby up, and then put the baby in the baby bed and have devotions, and always prayed with the baby before he'd go to sleep at night. Even if it's wailing, I'd just go ahead and pray with it, and then I'd quote its first memory verse. We did this with all five of our children. And their first memory verse was Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I mean, y'all agree, that's a good memory verse for kids, don't you think? My daughter, when she memorized it, and I said to her one day, you ready to say it by yourself? And she said, yes. And she, and of course, in a child's voice, she said, chillin. And she said, obey parents in Lord, for they are right. I said, let's work on that some more. Let's work on, because that's not what that says. But how many of you are children? How many kids we have in the building? Raise your hand, good night. All you young folks, teenagers, everybody, raise your hand, good night. Now this is your verse. He says you're to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know that, don't you? It's a right thing to obey your parents and honor them. That's a right. Go for a happy family. You got a job, teenagers and boys and girls. Go for a happy family and honor them. Honor you. Go obey your mom and dad and honor your parents. You know, obedience just means do what you're told, doesn't it? Do what you're told. In our family, we define obedience like this. It means do what you're told first, fast, with a happy face and a happy heart. That's our definition. You got to do it right away, right away. Listen to me, kids. If mom says, hey, come take out the trash, look at me now. If mom says, take out the trash, hit the floor, boy. You say, well, I'm in the middle of, I don't know, what's a video game? I was going to say Pac-Man, but that's a little dated. If you're in the middle of a video game, whatever it is, you're playing right in the middle of that video game. I'll take out the trash. Yes, ma'am, I'm on it. And you hit the floor. Do it first. And do it fast. I mean, get on it. Don't wait. Get on it. And do it with a happy face and a happy heart. That's Christian maturity for a young person who can hit the floor. Yes, ma'am, I'm on it. I'm on it. And I'd recommend you kids, you know, just the moment you hear, just I'm on it, I'm on it. And after you get it done, you come back and you say, what do you want me to do now, Mom? And you follow up on it. I got it, Mom. What do you want me to do now? And that's honoring your parents. Obey your parents and honor them. I don't know how y'all do it in West Virginia, but where we were raised, we had to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Not everybody does that. I know that. But that was our way of honoring. We'd say yes, sir, yes, ma'am. No, sir, no, ma'am. And my neighbor's kids are good at that. They are, I've never, ever had a conversation with my neighbor's children, except they're like, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, no, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir, uh-huh, sir. They just always throw the sir in there. And there's something honoring about that. I don't know how y'all do it, but kids, you ought to honor your parents. Show them respect. You say, you don't know my parents. Now look, maybe if I knew your parents, I wouldn't like them either. But they're not perfect, and they're your parents, and you can honor your parents. So honor them. And you do that by having a happy heart. We always taught our kids, you had to have a happy heart. My son Matthew would obey. He'd obey, but he wasn't always happy. He'd obey because he knew if he didn't, he'd get in trouble, but he wasn't happy about it. And one day I said to him, young man, you better get a happy face right now. And he turned around and he went, and I gave him credit for trying. Y'all agree with that? I gave him credit for trying. But you know, if you're 13 years old, it's time to get a happy heart and be obedient and honor your parents. You'll start parenting yourself, kids. That's success. Christian maturity is when a young person parents themselves. Don't always wait for mom to make you clean up the bedroom. Clean it up on your own. Help me out, parents. This is good stuff. Help me out here.
Amen,
and there you go. Amen. It's a little quiet. I'm like, come on, parents. This is good. And make your own bed without being told. Pick up your laundry without being told. Do the laundry without being told. Vacuum the house without being told. Change your dad's car's oil without being told. That'll bless him. And just don't let it run down the road now. That wouldn't be a good thing. But you got to honor your parents. Pick it up, kids. That's what the Bible says. Go for a happy family. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be what? Well with thee. Now, church family, you that have been here all week, where did we first learn that phrase? That it might be well with thee. Where did we first hear that in this conference? In Deuteronomy 6. Remember that? Because he said in Deuteronomy 6, here's why you do what's right and help your sons do what's right and help your grandchildren. Here's why you fear God and honor God and keep God first and love the Lord and love His word. Why? He says that it might be well with thee. God wants it to be well with us. Are you okay with that? God wants you to have a happy family. Is it all right for me to say that? God wants you to have a great marriage. Y'all believe that or not? God wants your family to succeed. Y'all know that's true? He wants you teenagers to be happy teenagers that love Him and serve Him and walk with Him. Some of you kids are getting older now. Pick it up. Get on fire for God. You're about to be on your own. Don't walk away from God. You want it to be well with you, don't you? You want it to be well. Down the road from our house is a family. I know all of our neighbors. We've had them in our home, and we always, at least once a year, try to have all the neighbors in our house. And there's one neighbor who lives down at the end of the street. They're nice people, and they've eaten at our table. And their grandson is now their son, and it's such a sad situation. Grandpa and Grandma live at the end of our street, and their son lived with them and then disappeared. He never had a job as long as I've known him. He's probably in his 30s, never had a job. He walks up and down the street in front of my house at least once or twice a day smoking a cigarette. And I jog, and many mornings while I'm jogging, I'll see him get in Dad's car, and there's a Tom Thumb service station a mile from our house. Often the reason I know that is from my door to that service station is 1 mile, and if I run down there and run back, it's a 2-mile run. Many times I've passed him. And I was down there one morning when he came in. I found out why he goes down there every day. He goes there every day to buy a lottery ticket. That's what he does every day. Buys a lottery ticket. Only time I've ever seen him do is walk up down the road in front of my house smoking cigarettes and buying a lottery ticket. And then he disappeared. And how many of y'all know this? If you want to know what's going on, you ask the kids. How many of y'all know that? And so I saw their grandson. And I said, hey, haven't seen your uncle in a while. Oh, he said he's running from the law. He just said it. Oh, he's running from the law. And I said, oh, really? And he said, oh, yeah. He said he's on probation. Oh, I didn't know that. He said, tell me more. And he said, yeah, he is in jail for a while, and he's out on probation. He broke probation of the day, and he's running from the law. He said, I think he's over in Baton Rouge is where he is. I think he's over in Baton Rouge, he said. Well, Trey's his grandson, and Trey's dad and mom didn't want him. See, that's their daughter. That's their son. Their daughter is Trey's mom. Trey's mama didn't want him. She's got actually 6 kids, but 5 different men. And she didn't want Trey, so she gave him to mom and dad. Trey's daddy didn't want him. In fact, Trey's dad can't have him now because Trey's dad died because of drug overdose. He was 31 when he died. This is that family down there. And here's what I found out about that family as I got to know them. Well, I mean, I know we're probably promoting this or broadcasting this, so I'll be careful here. But as I got to know them, well, they were raised in church. She sat at my table because we had music in the background, had a little Southern gospel playing, you know, Gaithers or something in the background came on, and her face, oh, she said, we used to go hear them sing all the time when I was a kid. They know, they can quote the Bible to you. But they walked away from God. Is it well with them? Not on your life. The son's running from the police, and he's already got a jail in his background. He's been incarcerated, and their daughter's got six kids by five men, doesn't want any of them. And now the man she's with, he doesn't care anything about them. And what a messed up family. See, you walk away from God, it matters, doesn't it? And kids, it's not my sermon, but I'm telling you, it matters whether or not you're all in for God. So get all in for God. Read your Bible every day. Do what's right. Keep a clean life. Keep garbage out of your life. Stay away from alcohol. Stay away from, and get in church and stay there and walk with God. And you have a godly family someday. God says He wants it to be well with you. And that's the truth. It could be well with them. They can make things right. And I'm happy to report to you that Trey is now born again on his way to heaven. And he's gotten saved. I'm happy about that. And he went to a teen rally and came home and told his grandparents, I got saved tonight. And she called me. Grandma actually texted me. And she said, Trey just said he got saved and I don't think he has a clue what that means. Will you talk to him? I said, well, sure. She dropped him off at my house and he and I sat on the porch and he knew what it meant. He understood. He told me about what it meant. No doubt he got saved. His grandparents adopted him, so he's got a mom and dad now. And they asked him if he wanted to change his name. He was Trey. I think the judge meant his last name. And he said, you want to change your name, son? And Trey said, yes, I want to be Matthew. And the judge was like, well, I guess we can do that too. So now his name is Matt. And I can never remember that. Because I've called him Trey forever, but now he's Matt. You know why he wanted to be Matt? Because that's my son's name. And my son's one plays football with him on the street and loves on him and give him high fives. He wanted to be mad, so he'd be like, my son. Now, here's the whole point I'm making tonight. Kids, it matters whether or not you do what's right. So he starts this test, and when he says, go for a happy home, he starts with you kids. So pick it up, kids. Be obedient. Honor your mom and dad. God wants it to be well with you. And he says it'll make your days longer. You live longer on the earth. And then he gets to verse 4, and parents, he talks to us, and specifically dads, to me and you. And ye fathers, he says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How many of y'all know that verse? Daddies, he said, nurture your children, nourish them. It's like a garden. That's a gardening terms. Nurture them. Bring them up is nourish them. And it's like planting a garden. How much work does it take to raise a garden? Takes a lot of work, doesn't it? And you got to pull weeds, and you got to protect it from the deer and the rabbits, and you got to keep the cows out of your garden. You got to work at it. And he says, "Here, moms and dads, look, we got to go for a happy family. We got to nourish our children and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It's a lot of teaching, a lot of training, a lot of correcting to get your kids on the right path. How many of your moms and dads know that? And I tell you, it's amazing how we're under attack in our homes. Isn't that right? And there's so many things against us. I got an email today I was sharing with Pastor Madison, Brother Craig, a moment ago. And there's a congresswoman from South Dakota. And here's what she tweeted not too long ago. She tweeted, a congresswoman, a leader in our country, she said, the extremist group Family Heritage Alliance said this morning, listen to this, that the safest place for kids is in families that have a married mom and dad. Can you believe she said that? Extremist group. This extremist group said, she said, the safest place for kids is in families that have a married mom and dad. And then here's how she ended that tweet. What a dangerous and un-American belief. That's one of your elected officials in the United States of America. Isn't it strange that we are now living in a generation that thinks it's dangerous to believe that it's best for children to have a married mom and dad. Moms and dads, the point is, we got to wake up. The world's trying to destroy your family. The politics is trying to destroy your family. Hollywood is trying to destroy your family. All the isms and schisms of our day are trying to destroy your family. And I will tell you, the enemy's trying to destroy your family. And it's just a little verse. Fathers, he says, don't anger your children. Don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a reminder. We got to pick it up and go for a happy family. You got a lot of training, a lot of talking, a lot of teaching, a lot of correcting. And if you're not careful, the years will slip by and your children will be trained, just not trained well. You ever gone to Walmart? You ever gone to Walmart? You ever gone to Walmart and seen a child out of control in Walmart? And the kid's just a brat. We'd say, that kid's a brat. My dad is redneck to the core. My dad sees the kids like that, and this is what my dad will say. My dad will say, wish I had 5 minutes with that kid. Anybody have a dad like mine? And I know what my dad means, but y'all know this, don't you? He's wrong. And the reason being is because you can't train a child in 5 minutes. Nobody ever has. But I will tell you, that child is being trained. Just wrong. Every child's going to do what it's trained to do. When you turn on the news tonight, and there's a good chance if you watch much at all, you're going to see somebody else rioting, somebody else beating somebody up. You're going to see another scene of a school where there's fighting in the hallway. And yesterday I saw a video yesterday of a group of teenagers that attacked a parent in the principal's office, and they were beating the tar out of this parent in the principal's office. Why would young people behave that way? Because they're trained. That's how they've been trained, to respond in anger and defiance and frustration and with fighting. That's what we're training. You and I've got to do better in the church, don't we? Here's several things you can do. Number one, you can believe. Number one, you can believe. Do you believe that in 2023 you could train your children in such a way that they could grow up to know the Lord, love the Lord, live for the Lord, and serve the Lord all the days of their life? Do you believe that? I hope you do. Start with faith. Listen, moms and dads, sometimes parents will come to me in Bethley in our family conferences and things of that sort, and we've had parents say to us before, young couples rather, say to us before, I'll just say right now, we don't want children. I say, well, good heavens, why not? Well, I wouldn't want to bring kids into this world. This world's so messed up, we don't want kids in this world. Now, here's the point. Here's what I want to say to you. Did you know that we're not the first messed up generation? How many of y'all knew that? Did y'all know that or not? We're not the first messed up generation. Y'all know that, don't you? Remember the 1960s, some of you folks? Wasn't it right up the road here in Ohio, wasn't that Kent State? Wasn't that in Ohio? There was shooting on the campus up there, wasn't there, in the 1960s? And there was debauchery and wickedness and godlessness and festivals and all that. You remember that, don't you? It's not the first messed up generation. Somebody's got to believe. Somebody's got to say, you know what? This is a messed up world. But I believe if I'll serve God and walk with God and do what's right, we could have a godly family. Believe that. Remember when the nation of Israel were sold into captivity and they went down to Babylon? Remember that? Did you ever know what God told them to do when they got to Babylon? Have you ever read that in your Bible? What do you do? What do you do when you get to Babylon and you're in slavery and you're in a pagan world and a pagan king and a pagan culture surrounded by pagan debauchery? What are you going to do down there? And I just love this. I read it again this afternoon just to make sure I was reading it right. And let me turn over and read it to you. This is what you do. Jeremiah, this is what he said. And let me see if I can find it now. Jeremiah 29, this is what he told him to do. He said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I've caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Listen to this. If you've never heard this, you ought to hear it. He said, here's what you do down there in Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and get wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Amen. What are you doing in a messed up world? Here's what God says you do. Build a house, get married, have a family, and raise them real well, and work real hard to make the land you live in a land of peace. Isn't that incredible? So what are you all doing? You building houses and trying to get your kids married? There's a lot of kids in this room tonight. Are you training them to be married? I jokingly say all the time, you know what our plan is for our children? That they leave. That's our plan. I want my kids to leave. You kids aren't offended by that, aren't you? Are you? I don't want my kids to stay in my house forever. Grow up and get out on your own, because someday we're going to be done with this, and it's going to be me and my wife. And boy, won't it be wonderful there. It's going to be me and my wife. You know what we're going to do? We're just going to hold hands all day and kiss, and it's just going to be wonderful. Y'all okay with that? We're married. That's our goal. Get out of here. Go. What's our goal? To get married. I want my boys to get married. Now, maybe God wants them to be single. How many of y'all know that's okay? But God's plan for most people is marriage, isn't it? So you girls up here, you ought to be praying about it. There's 3.5 billion guys in the world. You all know that? And so pray about one. I'm sure you can say, God, help one to be godly, and I'll marry him. And have 10 children. Amen? Or at least one or two, right? See, believe that God can help us to have great families. Believe that. And then pray about that. Pray about it. You pray for your children? Do you pray about this world we live in? Is it a mess? Yes, it's a messed up world. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, pray for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It's okay to say, Lord, help Joe Biden. God, I know he doesn't know you. I don't think he knows you. It doesn't appear that he knows you. But God, you know him, and you're bigger than he is, and you're bigger than the Congress and the White House and the Supreme Court. God, you're bigger than that. God, help our leaders in this land of ours to make decisions that will help us to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, so our families can walk with you and serve you and do what's right. Moms and dads, believe and pray. Believe and pray. Some of you got grown kids, and they're a disappointment to you, aren't they? Believe and pray. How many of y'all believe God loves your kids more than you do? It's the truth. So believe and pray. Just say, you know, Lord, my son, I wish he were better. I wish he weren't. But pray about it. Say, God, work on him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Speak to him. Pray in faith. How many of y'all know that it matters that you pray in faith? And pray big. Church, you got a God that's real. Do y'all believe that or not? And so pray for your family. Believe God can help you, and pray about your family, and then make sure you train your children and train them well. Y'all know Proverbs 22:6? Take your Bible. You still got your Bible open? Look at this great verse. Here's a great verse. Proverbs 22:6 is one of the important verses about your family. Proverbs 22:6. I love it. Turn over there with me, would you? I didn't mark it so I could turn with you. Turn to Proverbs 22:6 and look right here at one simple little verse from the words of Solomon. Proverbs 22:6. You ever memorized it? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, what will happen? Now, what does that verse say? That verse says, Mom and Dad, here's what we got to do. Train our children. Train them, train them, train them. You say, well, when do you start? Soon as you can. Maybe about day two at least. Start training. So you can't train a two-year-old or a two-day-old. Sure you can. You can take a little baby and sing to it in common spirit, can't you? Yeah, you can take a little baby and... You ever take a little baby and held him real close and swayed back and forth and hummed a song or sung to him? You ever done that? You see, you're training. You're training. You ever been changing a diaper and the kid's arching his back? You say no. Little tone voice, change of tone, right? No. No. What are you doing? You're training. See, just a couple of weeks old, but you start training. Our generation says, oh my goodness, got these terrible twos. Well, if they're still terrible twos, maybe that's our fault. Because what do you do with a terrible two? You train. Takes a lot of talking, a lot of time. How many of y'all know that it's just easier to get frustrated? It's easier to say, look at me. I brought you in this world. I will take you out. Isn't that easier? It's easier to be frustrated, impatient. Takes a lot of time to slow down, doesn't it? And say, look at me. Look at me. This is how you say that. Look at me. This is how you respond to that. Look at me. Listen to me. You're not going to do that again. Takes a ton of time, doesn't it? So how long do I have to do that? Well, not too long, about 18 or 19 years. But that's called parenting. You see, my kids are teens now. Well, what do you do when they're teenagers? You train them. So, oh, come on, my son's 16. What do you mean? He's got to be trained. You know what the teen years are for? To prepare him to leave. To prepare her, to help her. What are you training your son when he's 16? Can he change a tire? Well, so you got to train that. Can she cook? You got to train that. Do they have devotions? You've got to train that. My children will tell you that if they've heard this once, they've heard it 1,000 times. We'll have family devotions, and then right before we pray, I will say, have you had devotions today? My daughter Charity is smooth. She's smooth. Say, Charity, have you had devotions today? She'll say, not yet. That's pretty smooth, wouldn't you say? Not yet. It's a statement of faith. I'm planning to, just haven't done it yet. And I help her. We're training. Why do I ask that question? Because I think our kids ought to have devotions every day. So, have you had devotions today? Well, not yet. Okay, now when we're done tonight, we're going to pray, and we're done. You go brush your teeth, get ready for bed, but I want you reading your Bible before you go to sleep. Because we're going to, that's important. And sometimes kids will fuss with each other. How many of y'all know that? Sometimes kids will fuss with each other. How many of y'all know that? Well, you do, you train. And don't put up with that. Don't let your kids treat each other rudely. Don't put up with that. I used to travel with this young man named Jason. He worked with us 7 years, and those days we did music. We had a quartet and a trio, and my wife played the piano, and he played the guitar, and we had a trombone, a trumpet, and a banjo, and a mandolin. We did all the music and did choirs, and Jason was with us 7 years, he and his family. And Jason said to me, his brother was 13 months younger than him. And his mom was, I mean, she was an ex-Marine. She was brutal. And she's a pastor's wife. And one day, Jason said, and his brother got into a little fuss, you know, just kind of at each other. He said, I think he was 16, his brother was 15. His mom came in, and she said, are you guys fussing with each other? Well, yes, ma'am. She made him sit on the couch for 3 hours and hold hands. Jason said it was the longest 7 years of his life. But why? Well, she's training. What are you training? What are you training? Sometimes parents will say, I don't like how my kids are behaving. Okay, well then train. And don't be upset. If you've got a two-year-old that is a handful, well, it's okay. You know why it's okay? Because you got 16 or 17 more years. Now, if you got a 17-year-old that's a handful, you're running out of time. You better get real serious. But see, you got to train. That's what he's saying. Train. He says, train up a child in the way you should go. That means you dedicate them, you aim them, you fence them. You know that picture? How many of y'all know Psalm 127, verse 3? As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children. In other words, an arrow, you put it in a bow and you pull it back, and you there's tension there. There's a lot of tension in parenting, is there? We gotta solve this, and we gotta work on that, and we gotta just it's always tension. That's parenting. Expect that. It's not supposed to be easy because you are training a living soul on whether or not they will succeed or fail. That's what you're doing. So expect it to be hard. It takes a lot of work to pull that string back on that bow and hold it and aim it in the right direction and get it to where it ought to be so that when you release that arrow, it winds up where it ought to wind up. That matters, doesn't it? We got 18 or 19 years to take our children and train them. And notice that there's an aim to it. The word train has an aim to it. Where do you want your kids to be when they're 27? And moms and dads, you got to get them there. You want your children in church when they're 27? Make sure they're in church when they're 7. See, you want your children to love God's Word when they're 27? Make sure that God's Word is a priority in your life when they're 7. And you got to work at it all the time. No parent's perfect, so don't beat yourself up tonight. Just determine, I got to train my children. Sit down tonight and think through, what is it? Some of you got teenagers. What is it that I yet ought to train my teens? Do they do what's right without being asked? Then you ought to work on that. If they don't, are they polite? Then you ought to work on that. Do they know how to work? Then get them a job. How many of y'all know that work is part of training? Kids ought to work. Work is part of God's plan for the human race. Did you know that? So moms and dads, make sure your kids can work. You say, well, we don't have a farm. Well, buy one. Get you some milk cows. That'll change your children's life. Milk every morning, milk every night, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That'll change your life. And most of us aren't going to do that, but aren't there dishes to be washed? Don't put the dishes in a dishwasher if you've got kids. They got to learn to work. And don't get uptight about it, Mom. Don't get uptight about it. Let them do the dishes. Say, kids, it's your job. Mom and I, just dad help. Say to the kids, hey, kids, now, from now on, when the meal's over, y'all have to clean up all the dishes, dry them, put them all away, and Mom and I, we're going to go out and talk while y'all do that. You see, yeah, but they won't do it right. Well, duh. But you keep training them. It's okay to come back and say, no, that's not where it goes. Come in here. This doesn't go here. It goes right here. And this is how you put it in there. You say, but I've been saying that for 3 weeks. Well, listen, just keep at it for about 18 more years. And just keep saying it and keep saying it because it's called training. And the Bible says, here, this word train means fence. Now, I was raised on a farm, and we'd have steers or a heifer on the farm, and we'd sell a heifer or a steer. Somebody come to get it, and what we'd do is we'd fence them in. We'd fence them in. We go out, they're already fenced in the field. There's places they can't go. They're fenced in. Why? Because in the words of this text, they're trained. Can't go in that field because you're fenced in this field. This is what we expect. You stay here, and you're fenced in. So parenting training is fencing. And then when you sell that steer, we go out there in the field and we start driving that steer into the corral and then we close the door and now he's really fenced in. And then the guy backs his truck up to the loading chute and we drive that steer into that loading chute. And I'll tell you, he doesn't want to go in the back of that truck. How many of y'all know that children by nature don't want to do what's right? Just like that old steer. And here's what that steer's going to do. He's going to try to go to the right because he doesn't want to go in the back of that truck. Boy, he's going to hit that fence. Bam! Can't go that way because there's a fence there, see? You know what he's going to do? He's going to try to go to the left. And boy, he's going, bam! He hits that fence. He can't go through that fence. Moms and dads got to build fences. Moms and dads, you got to decide. This isn't right. You're not going to do it. That's a fence. This is what we're going to watch. This is what we're not going to watch. You got to decide. Your mom and dad. Listen, if you've got a 16-year-old, you have every right in the world to say to your 16-year-old, you can't watch that. You can't wear that. You can't go there. You say, well, I don't know what to do about it because, well, you know, they're 16. What if they rebel? Well, then fight harder. Take their phone. Take their keys. Take their video games. Turn off their electricity. Throw away their toothbrush. It's your stuff, isn't it? Does this make sense? You're not trying to be mean. You're just saying, you know what? We're going to do what's right in this family. You got to build fences. I don't know how far you need to go with it, but so many parents are running under 16. What can you do? What do you mean, what can you do? Your mom and dad, it's not a question of what can you do. You have to do. Don't fuss at your children. Parent them. Don't be like, sweetheart, why do you want to date that jerk? There's no answer to that. So make a rule. Hey, honey, we got to talk. You know that little guy you like? You can't date him. Come on, honey, I don't want to go to jail. I got a shovel and an alibi. You are not dating that guy. Now, I'm being silly, right? It's a little silly. But here's what... Yeah, halfway. But here's what a lot of parents do. What can you do? Moms and dads, that's not a question. You are required by God to do. So train your children. Don't fuss at them. Train them. It's going to take a lot of talking, especially in the teen years. You have to say in the teen years, you have to say, hey, son, we got to talk. I don't know if you know this or not, but... In our family, we don't behave that way. We don't wear that. And my kids will sometimes say, but Dad, I don't think there's anything wrong with this. And I'm honest about it. You know what? You might be right. But it makes your daddy uncomfortable. So our rule is that you're not going to wear that. When you grow up and you're on your own, you can make that decision. But right now I'm responsible, so you can't wear that. You can't go there. You can't watch that. You build that relationship so you can talk to your teenager. But don't be frustrated about teenagers. Parent them. Train them. Mom, don't you be frustrated about the house if you've got teenagers. They can vacuum. They can clean. They can make a bed. They can do the dishes. And if you train them well, they can cook. Life could be really great for you parents. Train them to cook and train them to clean and train them to vacuum and train them to do the dishes. And even like these little girls right here. They're little girls. You girls are young. But even these little girls could fold laundry. And your little ones are, like, I don't know if I want them folding laundry or not, but they can. They can sort socks. They clean up the dog hair from the new collie, and they can work. Moms and dads, you got to win. You got to train your children. And the Bible says, train up a child. How many of you have more than one child? You got to train each one of them individually. Y'all know every one of your children are different. They have strengths, they have weaknesses, and their strength is from God, their weakness is from sin. They have a sin nature, so they have weaknesses, but they also have strengths because they are designed by God. All of us are different. I go, well, here's Brother Craig. Brother Craig and I are different. We're both men. We both know the Lord. He plays the piano. I can barely play the radio. So we're different. So you would expect him to be different than me. He's got musical ability. I don't have any. We're different. You take a kid that's raised on a farm, milk cows every morning, he's going to be different than a kid that grew up in the middle of a city and has never seen a cow in his life. There's going to be we're all different, but the fact of the matter is, you've got to know your child's strength and train that strength so they will serve God. My daughter's as industrious as the day is long. She's always been, on the job, moving. She can get it clean, she can get it done, she can get it put away, she can get everybody helping her to do it. That was her God-given strength. She was also dishonest as the day is long. She had lied to you at the drop of a hat. Her brother's 14 months younger than her and the exact opposite. She's industrious, hardest working kid in my family, but a liar when she was a little girl. Her brother, 14 months younger than her, is the most honest, dependable child we have in our family. You can trust him. You can depend on him. He will tell you the truth every time, even to a fault. If you want to know who did it, ask him. Because he just says it. He can't lie. It's just how God made. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. But he's also lazy as the day is long. Bethany and I were just stunned by how our children were so different. Here's Abby, hardworking, industrious, liar. Here's Josh, honest, dependable, trustworthy, lazy. You know, God made them different. So here's what you have to do as a parent. You have to know their strengths and train that. You have to develop that strength, but you've got to overcome that weakness. The devil will use that sin-cursed weakness to destroy your child. What do we have to do? We worked hard to get that lying out of her life. See, what'd you do? We made rules about it. You don't lie in this family. And you're going to stop lying. You can't lie. And if you keep lying, then we're going to have to spank you. So you believe in spankings? I do. You know what a spanking is? It is an amplified consequence of a negative behavior while it's no big deal. I'm going to say that again. A spanking is an amplified consequence of a negative behavior while it's no big deal. Like, for instance, is it a big deal if a three-year-old lies? Come on, in the grand scheme of life, is it a big deal if a three-year-old tells you a lie? Not really. It's a sin. It's wrong. But they're three. It's not like his wife's leaving him. He's three. It's not like he's going to get fired from his job. He's three. But here's God's plan. Take care of it when they're three and it's no big deal. Because it's easier to solve sin problems when they're young and it's no big deal. And how do you do that? Talk up a storm. Honey, you don't lie. We don't lie. You're not going to lie. You may not lie. All right, you won't quit? You lie one more time. I'm going to spank you. I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. But I'm gonna give you a spanking if you lie again, because you will not, if I have anything to do with it, grow up in my family and be a liar. Say, well, they're only four. Isn't this our generation? Well, they're only four. What better time to take care of it when they're four and it's not a big deal? Don't wait till they're 14. It gets harder to train then. And certainly when they're 34. How many of y'all know this? If we don't train them, if we don't overcome it as parents, life will do it for us. See, it's no laughing matter when a kid gets fired for dishonesty and now can't pay the house payment. They have no insurance. Been a lot better to take care of that when they were four, right? So you got to work on that. Josh, he's dependable. He's as honest as day is long. He was hilarious. He just says whatever's in there. He's dependable. He's honest. He's trustworthy. Pastor in Pennsylvania, we were there preaching, had the weirdest church you've ever seen in your life. And I'm not joking. That whole place was a weirdo place. The way they did the service, it was just like, what in the world? It was the craziest thing. We've been in 2,000 churches, and that was the top of the line, weirdest one we've ever been to. And I'm not even joking. It's just the truth. And they were nice people, but it was just, what in the world? The parking lot was not symmetrical. All the parking lot spaces, they just haphazardly painted them. Didn't matter if they were, you know, even or everything was crooked, and it was just like, drove me nuts. I just couldn't look at the parking lot. And the church was just the way they built the building. The pulpit wasn't centered. The pulpit was like 3 feet off center and nailed to the floor. You couldn't move it. And the whole week I preached over here, and I was like, this is just not, my blood pressure was up the whole week. Just the whole church was just so odd. And it just was, in the pastor, I don't even know why he did this. He shaved everything on his face except for two little tufts of hair right under his nostrils. I was like, does he know that's there? It wasn't like hair's going out of his nose. He had little two tufts of hair growing right there. And talking to him was the weirdest thing, because, you know, you're trying to look but not look, and you're like, I can't look at you. And it was just the weirdest experience. The pastor took us out to eat on Sunday, and we're all at this table together, his kids, our kids. And he says, hey, young children, what's the weirdest church you guys ever been to? My son. Very honest, dependable. He goes, yours. I was mortified. So what are we going to do? Pastor made it worse. He goes, no, seriously. Josh is like, no, seriously, yours. And he was as sincere as the day is long. See, that's his strength. He's an incredible assistant pastor. People love him because they can depend on him. He's honest. He's dependable. But he was lazy. He didn't care if the job got done or not. Moms and dads, you got to know your children and go to work on their strengths to make it something God can use. But you got to overcome all their sin-cursed weaknesses. And that's where training comes in. Took us a long time to get get our Josh to where he was industrious. I was happy when he was in college that I found out that after the first year on the job he had in college, they made him the head guy. When he called to tell me he got promoted to that, I hung up the phone and high-fived my wife. We did it. How long did it take? Well, about 18 or 19 years. Moms and dads, God's called you to train. And it's a lot of work. Does it work? Does it? I submit to you it does. Number one, because the Bible says so. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. It'll make a difference. It's what the Bible says. It'll make a difference. It will. So train. Go train in such a way. Do everything you can so that will make a difference when they're older. But it does work. Like, how many of y'all like Brussels sprouts? Come on, how many of y'all like Brussels sprouts? Wow, a lot of y'all need revival. How many of y'all don't? Well, we could have a church split in half right here, couldn't we? Now, honestly, this is a probably dumb illustration. But the reason you raised your hand on one or the other side of that is probably because of this word. You were trained. Some of you that eat Brussels sprouts had a mom that said, you're going to eat those. And if you don't, you will have them for breakfast. And you were like, fine. And you choked it down. And you learned to like it, right? Why do Filipinos eat balut? Do you all know that? Do you all know Filipinos eat balut? It's the truth. I go to the Philippines a lot, and they always say to me, come on, brother young. Am I right? It's a goose egg. It's a duck egg. It's a duck egg with a baby inside it. They let it incubate for a few weeks, and then before, you know, it's fully developed, they boil it, and you eat the duck egg and the baby. You see it in there. They'll take the top off of it and drink the juice. I always say, watch this, how you do it, Brother Young. And then they'll, you know, it smells bad, I think. They always say to me, come on, Brother Young. You'll be an honorary Filipino if you'll do it. That's what they tell me. First of all, I don't want to be an honorary Filipino. I always say, hey, let me pray about it. The Lord said, no. Can't disobey the Lord. Y'all with me on this? Now, I'm winding down. Why would people in the Philippines eat a duck egg with the baby inside the egg? Because they were trained. I meet people all the time. They're like, I'll tell you right now, I'm a West Virginia Mountaineer fan. I was born that way. I'll die that way. You know what that's called? Training. You ever met a guy? I drive a Ford. I wouldn't drive a Chevy if you paid me. I'm a Ford man. You know, the other guy, you meet a guy, I'm a Chevy man. Ford found on road dead. You ever fix or repair daily? I mean, they can get brutal. Where do you come up with that kind of stuff? Training. We train our children to think certain ways, and they do. I was raised in the South, and it's the dumbest thing in the world. But I was raised that General Sherman, y'all know that name? Was a horrible man. I was trained. I wouldn't name my dog Sherman. I wouldn't drive a Sherman tank. I was taught that that man was evil. Sherman. I was taught to hate him. And it's a big deal. My family and I went to the Sequoia National Park in California, drove all the way up in the park to see the sequoia trees. We went up there to see the second largest sequoia tree in the world. You know what it's called? The General Sherman tree. Don't you judge me, but my family did not see it. We pulled in the parking lot, realized what it was called, and had a history lesson. Said, kids, we can't go see that. And here's why. He was a bad, I don't know why they would name that tree that. And my kids make fun of me for that. But I'll tell you, my kids have some strong feelings about General Sherman, and we don't even know him. In fact, we really don't care. But we were trained. Isn't that dumb? Is that not the dumbest thing in the world? And partially, I was just being a little funny, but we did not go see that tree. Like, we can't, kids. It would dishonor my upbringing. Your parents, your grandparents would remove me from the will. There's not a chance I'd ever get my dad's new truck. It's not a chance. Now, it's dumb, isn't it? But let's close and go home. But before we do, here's the point I'm making. Don't you think, moms and dads, if we could train our children to be Mountaineer fans or Chevy fans or Ford fans or Ram fans or whatever, don't you think if we could train our children to eat Brussels sprouts or balut, don't you think if we could train our children to feel strongly about something as dumb as General Sherman and what he did, that surely we should try to win in the things that really matter. Go overboard to have family devotions. Go overboard. Slow down, moms and dads, and know your children and know what their strengths are and encourage their strength. And know what their weaknesses are and correct the weakness. It takes a ton of work. But it's the way you go for a happy family. And can I just say this before we go? Have a happy family, church. Enjoy your children. You young parents, it's busy. You young mommies, it's busy. Life is crazy. But enjoy it. It'll fly. Slow down. Just sit down and hold the baby. Just hold the baby. So who cares if we eat? Hold the baby. Who cares if the laundry gets done completely? Hold the baby. Play with your children. Pray with your children. Listen to your children. Don't let them rule your life. They're kids. Your marriage is more important than your children. But enjoy having a Christian family. Go to church and enjoy it. Laugh and talk and sing and play and take your kids on walks. And when you get those teenage years, enjoy those teenage years. My son is 20, just turned 20 Saturday. And he still lives at home. He texted me yesterday and said, Dad, it seems like I haven't seen you in forever. And I said, I'll be home in a few days. He said, I know, and I can't wait. Made my day. We're buddies. There's even some things I'm working on him with. We're working on some areas. There's still some areas I'm working on him, and he lets me. Why? Because we're close. Work on your children and have a great family, church. Hey, it's time to go. And before we go, do you have any question or anything of that sort about the Christian family before we go home tonight? We're going to pray, but before we pray and dismiss and rescue Pastor from your children. Do you have a question? Yes, ma'am. As soon as they could. You know, when a kid learns to read, then we'd let them start having devotions. And we would help them. We bought our children a Bible story book to begin with that was on their level. And we always had devotions with them. We normally, our devotions when they were little, is we'd memorize a verse together every week. And we weren't hard and fast about it. Like, we didn't add them up and make sure they could say 50 verses. But we'd just work on a verse. And what we would do is we'd say the verse at bedtime. We would say the verse before we prayed at every meal. And sometimes just going down the road, I'd say, hey, what's our verse for the week? And we'd say the verse. My wife even found a little thing she carried with us, and it was a little sign. She'd change it every week and have our memory verse on it. And she, when we got our house, we'd put it on the thing beside the table. So all the kids had to do was look at the memory verse there. So when they're younger, you do whatever it has to. God, you know, they don't read yet, but you start training them, and they can memorize a verse every week. And with little ones, you repeat a lot. So we'd take one verse, like, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We said that verse probably with our boys 13 months before they memorized it, sometimes 15 months. With Abigail, she knew it in 10 months because she could talk at 10 months old. And she was just weird and could talk when she was that young. She just could. It was the strangest thing. She's this little tiny thing, and she'd say, hi, how are you? And it was like people would be like, you know, are you okay? She was just weird that way. But she could do more than her brothers. But, you know, as soon as they learn how to read, and part of the reason I think the world we live in tries to get our kids not to read is because they can't read the Bible if they can't read. And as Christian parents, we've got to train our children to read so they can read the Bible. And we ask our kids to try to read one chapter a day. And when they're old enough to read, one chapter a day. I actually, for whatever it's worth, once my children started reading and could read the Bible on their own, I offered to pay them $2 for every book of the Bible that they finished. And so if they read the whole Bible, it was $132. And I paid it. Because you see, you pay your kids to read the Bible, you better believe it. I wish somebody would pay me. I pay them. And did they read it to get money? Well, maybe. But I will tell you, if you're going to read Leviticus, you deserve $2. Can I get a witness? That's a revival sermon right there, isn't it? So, amen. So, you know, if you're going to read through the whole Psalm, that's 150 chapters for $2. So I didn't mind paying it. And I had to plan ahead a little bit because we didn't all, you know, we were tight. Money's not always easy when you got five kids. But it was the best investment I ever made in my children was to pay them to read through God's Word. One time, I paid them the first time. But I recommend it. So just, your kids are young, so just, you know, memorize a verse a week. And as they get old enough to read, then start encourage them. Maybe schedule it where you sit them down and we always read our Bibles in the morning. Bethany and I get up and read our Bible. So we try to train our kids as they get older, get up with us in the morning. Our kids are homeschooled. Before you homeschool, Charity, my daughter, is 14. She loves hot tea. So when my wife awakens Charity, she turns the teapot on. And Charity gets up, comes and gets her tea. Before she can start school, sit down, drink your tea, and read your Bible. And so that's how she said it. It's a routine. So we just try to make it a routine. And so that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. All right, one more, one or two more. I know you're ready to go, but one or two more. Anything at all? Yes, sir? How am I going to get that RV to Hawaii? I'm going to buy a plane. Me and Creflo Dollar. I wish. I haven't been scheduled there yet. You should pray about that. I need to preach in Hawaii. That'll be my 49th state if I can get to Hawaii. And I'll preach in Vermont if somebody invites me, but I really would like to preach in Hawaii. So y'all pray about that. Would you put that on your prayer list and pray about that? That's Franny, pastor in North Dakota, and I went and preached a revival for him, about froze to death. It snowed and froze rain every day. It was miserable. He left there and went to Northern Michigan. I went up and preached a revival for him. My RV froze up. It was so cold. It was miserable. He went to Hawaii for 5 years. Never had me. Now he's in Illinois and he's a pastor, and he had the audacity to text me and ask me if I'd preach a meeting for him in Illinois. And I texted him back and said, no. If you can't have me in Hawaii, I'm not preaching for you in Illinois. How many of y'all agree? That's principle, isn't it? And I'm trained. That's right. I was trained. Crazy thing. But anyway, that's a good question. I'm not taking it to Hawaii. That thing would be a mess in Hawaii, I'll tell you that. All right, anything at all before we call it a night? Y'all have been a blessing. Thanks for listening to me teach God. Have you got a question?
Yeah, so in Proverbs, with fathers don't provoke their children to wrath, could you expand on that?
I can, and I got a whole series of that on my podcast. But don't provoke your children to wrath is what happens when we don't train them. And when I fuss at my children, I'm provoking them to wrath. When I badger my children, I'm provoking them to wrath. And the idea is, it's just easier. You'll see people fuss at their kids all the time. What are you thinking? What is wrong with you? That's a dumb thing to do. What are we doing? We're angering our children. It's easier to say that than it is to say, son, that was a really dumb thing to do. And don't do that the next time. Next time that happens, this is what you do. See, because that's training. And you anger your children when you don't take care of them or you don't meet their needs. Or, you know, there's a lot of ways. I have a friend who preaches a sermon. He has 37 ways you could anger your children. One of them is just as simple as not meeting their needs. Say, you know, if they need clothes but we don't, you know, take care of their clothing need, then we can really frustrate, especially if it's a teenager who feels awkward. And so as a parent, we don't want our children to be angry because of our parenting. We want to train them so that they, and we want to meet their needs and direct them. Really, we want to take them by the hand and help them become adults. And if we fuss at them and frustrate them and irritate them, then we're angering them. Probably the easiest way we do it in our generation is to fuss at them. And especially when they're teenagers. Because it's so easy to say to a, you know, I don't know how y'all feel about this, but it's just a dumb illustration. But to say, son, I don't like your hair. And that's easy to fuss at. What is wrong? Why do you want to wear your hair that way? It's a whole lot better to say, son, you know you live in my house, right? And you're my son, right? Well, I just have to tell you that you have to get a haircut. And see, that's easy. Say, well, what if he gets mad? Well, he might, but that's not the same thing as angering your children. That's called rebellion. And my dad used to say to me, because, you know, once I said to my dad, what if I don't do it? And it was a fair question. I was just curious. What if I don't do it? My dad said, well, either you can get your hair cut, son, or when you go to sleep tonight, I'll tie you to the bed and do it for you. I said, okay, fair enough. So I went and got a haircut. So I don't know if that was the wisest thing to say on my dad's part, but it sure made it. And he didn't raise his voice at me. He was just like, well, you know, I guess I could tie you the bed and do it myself. And I was like, you know, come to think of it, I'll get a haircut. Now, I don't know the hair is even a big deal. You know, that's just an illustration. Some people have different opinions about things than I do. But you've got a parent. Don't fuss at your kids. And you just say, this is right. This is what we're going to do. And somebody says, yeah, but the Bible doesn't say. Teens are like, what did the Bible doesn't say? And I'm honest with my kids about that. I'll just say, I know. So this isn't Bible. This is Dad. Has nothing to do with the Bible. This is just the way I want it. And here's a dumb one. But in our family, well, it's not dumb to me. In our family, I made a decision that our family was not going to watch Harry Potter or read Harry Potter. No, that's just us. Okay, that was me. Actually, let me say, that was me. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the magic in it. I didn't like the, you know, I just didn't like it. And so I said to my kids, we don't watch Harry Potter, we don't read Harry Potter. All right? So my kids are grown. I have three that are married. All my older married children have watched Harry Potter. And they all came home and they were like, Dad, you really should watch it. It's not that big a deal, Dad. And now, see, I got a kid still at home. So my charity was like, Dad, Abby, Josh, and Matt said it wasn't a big deal. I said, well, maybe it's not. But it is my standard. It's just mine. The Bible didn't say, thou shaltest notest, watchest, hairiest, potterest. But Daddy thought that. So Charity said, so if I grow up and read it, that's okay? Or grow up and watch it, that's okay? I said, well, when you grow up on your own, then you have to decide what God is leading you to do. But at this point, I have to answer. And so it's been huge discussions in our family. And the older kids tease me about that. Dad, it's just Harry Potter. And I was like, yes, and you all need revival. and I'm only half joking because I feel a little strong about it. But we're still friends. They just know Daddy disagrees with them on that. And what I said to all my kids was, I said, it's easy for you to say right now because none of y'all got any kids. What you going to do when you have little ones? It's going to be a different ballgame then. And I said, just so y'all know, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up, and I'm going to go, what did y'all decide? And I'm going to say to your grandkids, Mom and Dad, I'm going to say to my grandkids, your mom and dad let you watch Harry Potter? I said, because I'll help y'all with this. I'll bring it up. So y'all have to decide. And it's all, we're just joking. Nobody's mad. But that you don't want to anger your children. You just make rules and be honest. If it's Bible, there's some things that are biblical. But many things we do as parents aren't necessarily biblical. They're just we're trying to raise our children for what we believe and what we feel strongly about. And so it's a tall order, isn't it, parents? It takes a lot of work. You know God loves y'all? Do you know He loves your family? Amen. And so work at it. Pray about it. Let God help you to have a happy family. And invest in your family. Beth and I every year read a book on marriage, and we read a book on raising children. Every year. We read it together. Not out loud together, but she'll read it and I'll read it and we talk about it. We're just trying to learn. We're trying to learn all we can about how to have a great family. And I want to tell you, parents, it's worth it. There's just something wonderful about having children that love God and your teens that love the Lord. It's not going to be perfect. You're going to have ups and downs. My son's sitting out of college for a semester on purpose. Because he made some decisions last semester that I didn't approve of and didn't like. And so he didn't get kicked out of college. But when I found out a couple of decisions he made last semester in college, I said, you can't go back to college. Do you take care of this? And it was a little hard to hold him out of college a semester. So he's behind all of his peers a semester. But I was determined he's going to make some things right. And you know what? It took 6 months of work and prayer and talking. But he's finally gotten back on the right track. So see, it never ends. There's going to come a day I can't help him anymore. But right now I can. So I am. And he's the one that texted me last night and said, you know, looking for you to be a home dad. And we'll play tennis this weekend together. And I'll beat him, Lord willing. That's my goal anyway. My prayer, Lord help me. Because if I can't beat him, we won't play. That's just how it goes when you're a dad. Isn't that right, Dan? That's how it goes. All right. Thank you, church, for letting me teach you God's Word. And I hope you've learned. I hope you've grown. And I hope you'll take steps towards having a godly family. Look, if you need help in your family, get it. And maybe it'd be just pray with somebody. Get somebody together and say, will you pray with me about this? Will you help me with that? Will you point me to a book? Let's have godly families. It's been a long service. And y'all have listened super well to God's Word. Thank you for being here. Let's stand together across the room and bow our heads for prayer. Would you take just a moment and ask God to fill you with His Spirit? Would you take just one moment, ask God to help you? Would you take just one moment, ask God to give you wisdom? Would you take just one moment, ask God to help your sons and your daughters? Even if your son and daughter is far from God, would you take just a moment and just ask God to love on them and work on them in the way that only He can? He's well able to help your adult children. So pray in faith. And just pray for your little ones. Pray for your teenagers. Teenagers, pray for yourself and for your family too. Ask God to help you to have a sweet spirit, kids. Young men, young ladies, ask God to help you to have a sweet spirit. And ask God to help you to be godly so things will be well with you. Just pray. Just for a moment. Oh Lord, hear our cries tonight. God, there's no doubt we love our family. Sometimes we're disappointed. Sometimes we're discouraged. Sometimes we're frustrated. Sometimes we don't handle things as well as we should. But we want to. We want to be used of You. We want to have Your power. We want to have Your peace and Your joy and Your presence in our life. We want to see our sons and daughters serve You and love You, and we want to see it well in their life. And God, we can't do this on our own. We need You. Lord, if there's a family here struggling, help them, God. Give them wisdom. If there's a family here broken over a situation in their home, God, encourage them tonight. Draw near to them tonight. You tell us in Your Word that You are nigh to those who have a broken heart. So be near to them. And give them the wisdom to know what's right, the courage to do it. Bless us, we pray. Fill us, we pray. Use us and help us, we pray. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask these things. All God's people said, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine on you, and give you peace.